it's just like a drop-in widget. It's a JavaScript code that you can just embed into your website. It doesn't have to be an NFT marketplace. It can be any Stacks app that want to take Lightning payments and do something on Stacks. That can be done.
What is up, you beautiful people? You just heard a little snippet from Zach. I don't know if you've seen it yet, but there was on Stacks NFT, a NFT collection where you could buy with Lightning. Literally, you would just point something like your Strike app QR code at this thing, point your camera at the QR code, and pay, and then it would just send the NFT to your wallet. Confirmed, on the Explorer, NFT in your wallet. And this has been kind of going crazy since it happened last night. Jamil, creator of Stacks NFT, got numero uno. Your boy got one as well. But yeah, I had to get Zach on here to break down some of what he's got going on. And while I was at it, I'm doing a Stacks Grant series on Stacks Grant recipients, how the process works, and just trying to get more people to want to build an ecosystem. There's so much to do, and as you'll hear in this story, Zach is a new coder. He's only been dabbling since 2018. He's not a lifelong computer science nerd, and you know, he just moved from Web 2 to Web 3. He's just been following his curiosity and building cool, really cool stuff. So when I heard that, I was super, super hyped by it because I'm a new dev myself. So yeah, I got him on, talk about some of what he's working on, what's coming down the pipeline, and the Stacks Grant process. So let me not talk anymore. Shut up, Jake, and listen to this conversation with Pseudo Zach.
Welcome to Built on Bitcoin.
Pseudo Zach, you're back, I think. No, I was about to say you're gonna be my first repeat guest, but you are the second repeat. But welcome back to the show, my friend.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for having me back. Good to be here.
If people haven't heard the first episode and you want to learn about what he's been working on, building a bridge between Lightning and Stacks, I highly recommend it. But just a quick overview, if this is their first episode and hearing about you, can you just give the people a brief background of kind of like your expertise and what you work on?
Right. So, I first got into Bitcoin in around 2013. I sort of heard about it and bought some and then sold it, of course. But anyway, then I started reading up on it and I got very excited. And then I guess around 2018, when I actually had like a procedure done and I had some off time, then I started and Lightning was just sort of happening. It was just coming up and I just started, you know, I was, you know, sitting around anyway. So I started learning and trying to do like, you know, simple apps with it, basically just one simple app, try to get it working. So that happened, and people used it and it was fun and it worked. And, you know, you could you know, charge people cents, you know, like, you know, very small amounts over the internet instantly. And you could pay them out if they win, you know, the thing that you're doing. So, yeah, it was really cool to see. It was an eye opener. I started sort of, you know, in my free time, I started building Lightning. And that's what I've been doing since. The Stacks, it was similar. You know, I heard about the Stacks and at the time they had the app.co, right? They had the app marketplace and people were just, you know, building apps on it. And again, I did stuff with where you could like build a form with Lightning. You know, you could sort of do votes with Lightning and also log in with Stacks. So, you know, I think at the time that was a good mix between the two. So I did those. And since then, I guess if we come to... right about now, the last, 6 months or so, even a little bit before that, I've been doing a few grants for the Stacks Foundation, and yeah, it's been great.
And in 2018, when you had that downtime and kind of jumped in, is your background before that as a developer, or were you starting fresh?
Not at all, no. I mean, I you know, I think maybe like in college, I did some basic software like back then. I guess it was like some C++ for like, you know, final project or something. But no, I mean, this was just like a hobby for me. You know, I just Stack Overflow, I read up on things, and I looked at the existing, you know, there's so much open source stuff that you can just go in and look at the source code and see, oh, you know, it's doing that. And I sort of just, you know, taught myself how things work a little bit. And then I fixed it and they broke again. So, you know,
that's, I'm going to take this clip and just repeat it to myself every morning because that's how I've dabbled in HTML way back in the day. And in June, I started coding, just doing Code Academy. And then I've been kind of like flailing around doing the podcast and 10 other things and not developing. Yeah, exactly. But it's good to see this progression where you started in 2018 and you just kind of got captivated by an idea. And now we're starting to see the fruits of this labor from someone who just started from scratch. So I see that as a super, super positive, encouraging message for people who are maybe switching careers and are scared because it's a whole new thing. But
You don't even really need to switch careers and look at it as a career. And I still don't, of course. I think maybe it's a personality thing. It may not be for everyone, but if you have like even a small hint of this, oh, you know, like this is cool stuff. Like, I wonder how it works. Like some curiosity, something that I don't know. I always look at it as like it works and it gives you a like little bit of a, you know, hit of dopamine and you feel, oh, you feel good. It's oh, like you click this button and this cool thing happens and you just chase it. It's like, you know, chasing a high, but you know, at the end it turns out to be something nice and cool and useful. That's just a plus.
Yeah. It's one of those things where like at the beginning, it's super frustrating. Like the code doesn't work and the computer's being irrational. Why isn't it working? But then when it clicks, it feels so
good.
But
really, you're wrong.
Exactly.
More often, but actually all the time, you know, like I'm wrong. It's because computer is, you know, is never wrong.
Right? Yeah. The computer's pretty much perfect. It's just executing what you tell it to do. So give it better instructions. Exactly. Yeah. That's good to know. So yeah, for this series, I'm kind of, my goal with these small series of videos, the Stacks Grant series, is to get more people to do what you do of come to Stacks, get interested in development and apply for a grant and create here. But before we deep dive a little bit into the nuances of the grant application and your experience, you released an NFT collection. I think it initially came out a couple months ago, right? The Roots collection.
Yes. Yeah. The Roots was like two months ago. I think, and then I was just sort of, you know, looking into, oh, what is this thing? How does it work? And just trying to, you know, make my own. So.
Yeah. So you released that and it was a Stacks payment at the time, but then this call is happening on the 7th of January. And I think last night was when it went live where you're the first collection to have Lightning payment on Stacks NFT.
That's right. Yeah. SDX NFT, Jamil, you know, he's super helpful, super cool guy. Helped me with Roots originally, you know, he's very approachable, very helpful. And for this one also, you know, we were talking about it and he said, you know, when are we going to do this? And I said, you know, like technically it is ready. I was just sort of maybe holding back and like that occupied with other stuff because, you know, like the grant is ongoing, there's a lot of milestones, a lot of stuff I wanted to accomplish. But you know, we figured just let's just do it and see how it's perceived and like see where it breaks, of course, you know. And we did. And it did. But we fixed it. And yeah, I mean it turned out very cool and exciting and got a very good receival, I guess, from everyone. So
yeah, I think I know when I saw it, I was super hyped because when I first talked to you and you're kind of breaking down how Lightning works and you're giving this great example of like a bar tab and all this starts to make sense to me, but it's still kind of in my mind. And then you could go to lnswap.org and kind of see how that works. And, you know, the UI is basic, but functional and it could do what it needs to do. But it wasn't until I saw this, that it hit me that when properly executed, just how simple, but also how powerful the primitive you've built here is. It blew my mind.
Exactly. I mean, that's the idea, right? Like for us, sort of, we're really building sort of just tools and a little bit background, like APIs and these basic building blocks, I would say. And the rest, you know, like the applications that actually offer people value can then use these tools and we'll help them abstract all of this away. So, you know, we'll probably talk about that as well, but like, you know, users should just like scan a QR and not care about what's happening, like, and get to sort of their final goal, whether it's, you know, minting an NFT or paying some service, shopping, and many, many other, I don't know, financial things that they want to do. Anyway, so that's the idea.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think that in most things, like the reason that iPhone works so well is because you don't have to think about how to use it. It just, the design is so good that it's just straightforward and the phone kind of falls away. And that's where crypto has to go to, where like the phone kind of falls away. And ideally we can use, you know, functional user patterns like a QR code to pay someone, which people are already being kind of like groomed to do with things like Venmo and Cash App, that it feels very natural, even though you're now fully in Web3.
Right. I mean, there's like, for me, like when I'm testing and my demo videos and stuff like that, I use this LB extension, right? So Lightning extension. And you can just sort of click those QR codes and you don't even need to pull out your phone really, because it's, you know, like the LB works with your backend LM node. And you just sort of click the buttons and accept and confirm the payment and that's it.
Got it. And you mentioned that you and Jamil collabed a little bit on this. If other people wanted to implement this, how easy, like how formed is it to kind of implement more broadly versus this one case?
I mean, it's ready now, I would say. Like this work, okay, so let's first, you know, like full disclosure, right? So I should mention this. I try to mention it wherever I can, like in Twitter and everything. But like this version that's currently working and people are maintaining, it is partially trusted. Right? So it's partially custodial because we don't have sort of the contracts deployed and the backend adapted to make it such that the Lightning payment will reveal the pre-image that will trigger the contract. Well, that doesn't happen right now, but it will. I mean, we'll work on that. I have a pretty good idea how to accomplish it, but this is now trusted. And the reason I say that is because the way that it is now, it can be used by any project. You know, this was sort of a demo for us. But yeah, I mean, of course, we're talking with other marketplaces as well. But it's just like a drop-in widget. It's a JavaScript code that you can just embed into your website. It doesn't have to be an NFT marketplace. It can be any Stacks app that want to take Lightning payments and do something on Stacks, that can be done. And details are in lnswap.org/developers.
So you're working on your grant. If there were people that, you know, they saw this, they get inspired and they wanted to help you, is there parts of what you're working on that could be outsourced or that you could use help with?
Yeah. I mean, if they want to contribute, that definitely. I mean, we were just talking today how like some people openly, some people a little bit maybe more shyly, they were saying that the design of the lens swap. Oh well, I mean, it's true. It's you know, I'm open to fixing it and making it better, but just need contributors, right? So.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. That's something that I've definitely didn't realize about coding is how creative the actual like. Part of it is like the construction of how you code is entirely up for debate. There's 10,000 ways to achieve the same thing, so it's good to always take feedback on where the things could be optimized and etc. Well, moving over to the Stacks grant, first of all, what made you decide for this project to apply for a grant?
Oh, I mean, a little bit background. I actually did a prediction market first. As a grant. That was my first grant. Yeah. So I did that I did like oracles that you could deploy yourself that it's STX Predict. I mean, you can find it on GitHub. It's all open source. So that I did that first. But this one is sort of, you know, again, to full disclosure, the code base itself is already open source. It's a very cool product, very great code base called Bolts. Bolts.exchange. So those guys basically did this submarine swap implementation between EVM chains and Lightning. And they're running and it works great and it's used a lot. It actually just got an HRF grant as well. So I sort of, you know, and I was already into, you know, I knew Clarity, I was learning Clarity and sort of, you know, getting familiar with it. And I figured, you know, and this sort of stuff is needed, right? Like bridges. And I guess as, you know, like I said, a person that's into Lightning, I just want to see it like bridged everywhere. I guess that's one of my like personal things that I try to do. So yeah, I mean, that was a good match. I figured, you know, there's this cool thing that can do trustless swaps. And then there's this Stax ecosystem that's, you know, that needs onboarding and on-ramps, off-ramps. You know, I can build the same sort of similar contract and, you know, the required missing blocks, you know, missing building blocks with Clarity and tie them up and make it work. And that's why, you know, I wrote the grant and there was some discussion on it. But I mean, even the initial, like, response was very positive. So I think it was Rafi and Foundation were very positive and welcoming and said, you know, this is the type of you know, cool idea that we should be building and help build. So yeah, I mean, they were, you know, we went through the, I guess we'll talk about that, we went through regular procedure and then yeah, it started and I guess maybe a couple of months later, you know, we had the demo and then we brought it to testnet and then mainnet. So that's the story.
Beautiful. As a newer dev, I think, you know, when I think about myself, like, I could see myself being cautious about wanting to apply for a grant because I don't know what I don't know when it comes to coding. Like, I haven't built it yet. I think I can do it. But how big should I go on, like, the milestones or the scope of the project? Do you think...
Well, I mean, yeah.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I'm just thinking, like, how much do you think of a grant process? I could see, like, there's like a, you set the scope and then you learn to fly on the way down and you just kind of mm-hmm. trust in your ability to learn to fulfill the grant, even though when you're writing it out, you're like 70% sure that you can.
Yeah.
Is that kind of how it is?
That's what I was going to say. I mean, you should be more than 70% sure. Like, I do a lot of pre-work, right? Like I said, like I look at, first of all, I sort of think about what I'm going to do and what sort of, you know, what parts are needed, right? Because, you know, this is like a grant is like a with deliverables and outputs and things that you should be able to say, here, it is delivered right here, click on this and it will do this. This will be the outcome. I mean, at least for my grants and my approach is this. And that's my sort of approach to all of the, you know, like the contract work or project work that I do. Like it should have an input and it should have an output and the output should match this and this and this. And then I think about like what's needed to get there, right? So what do I need to build? And then I also do some like I said, like if you want to, in my specific case, if I wanted to implement submarine swaps on Stax with Clarity, then Clarity needs to have these like SHA-256 function, right? Something to hash these values with. Because at the end of the, you know, function, I need to check this. So I went in and I checked the documentation and saw that it's all there, right? So I didn't sort of assume that, you know, it would be, it'll probably work somehow. I mean, I guess you can also do that, but then you open up yourself to risks and I'm sure, you know, there are really, really technical and, you know, super smart people on the foundation committee. They will point it out to you as well, that this will not work or did you think about this and that? So yeah, that's the sort of pre-work that I do. So yeah, that's 70, 80, 90% sure you should have that. And then at the end, there's like in the grant application itself, there's a risks section, right? So that's where you sort of write down where can it go wrong. It's, you know, it's like any project management, really. It's just like where can it break apart and where might you be lacking things, so that they can help you or they can find someone to help you and things like that. So yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, you should do like good amount of pre-work to think about the process, sort of, you know, try to see into the future, you know, like what's going to happen then. And then I'll do that. I'll connect it and I'll make it work. So I think that's needed.
No, that's good advice. I know for my application, it was like, you know, I want to attract Ethereum developers and like Sol developers to Stacks. And that's the hardest thing is like, how do I imbue myself into a non-friendly in a sense or unaware community and not feel like I'm just an outsider that's shilling something that they don't want. So TBD, but that question was definitely, it's at the end of the application, but it's a super good question. So I'm curious, you want to expand this Lightning Bridges to the whole world. Like in a perfect world, you would just clone Zach and you would just bring all the bridges together. if you didn't receive this grant, would you have still built a Stacks bridge or would you have gone elsewhere?
I mean, gone elsewhere, I don't know. To be honest, like I already do like probably too many things. So I should, you know, do less and probably, you know, like arrange my time a little bit more. But like I said, it's the high, it's the rush, and also to you know, to this is cool stuff to be working on, right? And this is happening in our lifetimes and right now. And we have the tools, you have these amazing tools. You can just grab a laptop and start reading and in 20 minutes you can have things that are working, you know. So that's why I feel like you know, like running instead of walking. That's sort of the first part of it. But yeah, I mean, other than that, I guess I would still work on it, but it would probably take a really, really long time and it would be like half done and you know, maybe not pushed as hard. It's all motivation, right? It's all incentives and motivation. And that's sort of what Stacks Grants gives you. I mean, it gives you visibility, sure, but it's really sort of the motivation and the feedback that these people like, you know, Marvin and Jenny and everyone on the grant committee would sort of tell you that, okay, so you should, you know, chase this and this is cool to see, it's exciting. And then you, you know, keep going a little bit more, have something else to show and so on and so forth.
I haven't thought about it like that, but that's a great way of putting it where like I too, when you say that you have too many things going on, I can relate 1000%. Like I should probably take off 4 things off my list yesterday, but I'm like, there's so many topics I could talk about. There's so many cool people I could discuss things with, but I probably wouldn't be creating a Stacks grant series on Stacks grants in like my top 4 or 5 things. But it was number 6, you know, like when it came to my attention, I'm like, okay, well, you know, it's still talking to interesting people building in the ecosystem that I'm involved in. So it's still somewhat on brand of what I'm working on. So yeah, if you're going to fund me and like put some money in my pocket and I can kind of like get myself that safety net and do something that's still correlated, it does bring it up to that like first, second position that it wouldn't be otherwise. And everyone, it's a win-win for everybody. So yeah, that's super well said. Well, last question I have is, and this is more of a broad question, but what do you see for you, in your opinion, where's the biggest needs in the ecosystem right now?
I don't know. I'd probably be repetitive and I sort of agree with Tycho on this one, right? So like DeFi is, I mean, it exists and I like my personal thoughts and my personal things aside, I would say like that part is just being built, you know. So I guess a lot more, you know, tooling and scenarios and I don't know, just any building blocks that can be built there. Like there's, I mean, I guess this is a good connection to mention here. There is a foundation grant wish list. There's an entry there that requires support for Taproot for Catamaran swaps, right? So, you know, this is a wish list and it's this issue is there. So if like there are any technical people like developers that want to go and jump into Polarity and like maybe have that capability, it's already there. You know, these things are needed and they're even voiced and put down on paper, even the specifications, what's required, it's all there. So, you know, I don't think we could say this needs more attention than others. It's just whatever you want to build, it's probably
okay. Go just follow your curiosity and that's where the best stuff is going to be lead.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, otherwise, you know, if otherwise it sort of becomes a chore, isn't it? I mean, if you don't want to do that. You want to, you know, it's a bit cliche, but it's cliche for a reason, right? So follow your passion and do things that excite you, that inspire you and just do those things. And then you will do them and you'll do them well. And you won't stop until you make them work. Or I mean, so, or, you know, they'll fail, but you'll still be saying, oh, that was a cool time that I tried to make this work. So I think that's like a general, a little bit maybe more philosophical argument.
I was just going to say, like, I ask what's missing in Stacks, and you give just general life advice. Now some developers can become a yoga instructor. We just lost somebody. It's great advice though. I completely agree. You should 100% go where your curiosity is, because you're just going to go harder in that area versus otherwise. You're going to hit a limit.
Right. If you want me to be more like specific, I guess like right now we need like a couple of things like more technically specific. I can say, like this, all these NFT stuff standardization, right? So we need like this non-custodial marketplace standards, like we need inputs, and we need, I don't know, I guess at some point, I know like Frieger and all these, you know, great guys are doing a lot of work and putting this out and getting feedback, and there are like great discussions happening around this. But I guess, you know, it needs to be maybe finalized and put into place, and people should, I guess, adapt it and use it and etc. So that's one thing I would say. And like I said, for specifically, I mentioned that like Taproot support for Catamaran swaps, it would be very cool to have.
Yeah.
And I guess wallets, you know, like wallets should be, there should be more choices if you ask me for wallets, and we shouldn't be sort of depending on one type of wallet. So, you know, like libraries should be more generic, and there should be more, both, you know, desktop, browser, mobile wallets, they should exist. Those are just my personal views.
I agree, especially mobile wallets. Like there's so many times when there's an NFT collection that's dropping and I'm at work and I don't have my laptop with me, and I just wish I could just open up my phone. Maybe it's Xverse or whatever, and then I can just do it that way. But, you know, not yet. I know someone out there has to be working on that. It's just in the shadows.
I'm sure it's being worked on. It's just maybe we don't see it yet, and yeah, we don't hear about it yet. So.
Yeah. Well, Zach, thank you. I don't have any other questions. Is there anything else you want to close on?
No, nothing really. Like I said, I could talk about like some plans for the future for this grant and LN swap in particular.
That's a great place to end off on. Yeah, let's lead off on like the next 6 months to the year of what we might see with LN swap.
So I mean, there's of course no concrete roadmap or anything yet, but like there are a few focus scenarios that I would like to work on. So one path is also, this is mentioned on the grant issue as well. Someone commented and said, like turn this into a wallet, right? So, I mean, or at least have some wallets integrated so that people can, like you said, like they have a mobile wallet that can scan a QR code and identify that it's a Stacks address and do, and, you know, send Stacks or send tokens there. Or if it's a Lightning invoice, do a trustless swap in the background and still do the action without sort of bothering the user with external websites and other apps and all that, right? So I think this is one of the cool things that can be built, and probably, I mean, it would be cool to have it happen. That's one thing. And then the other path is sort of the more of a decentralization and the increasing of the liquidity on LN swap itself, and also other instances just like LN swap, right? Because the whole point of sort of my milestone 3 on this grant is that I will release this I'll release the LNXTX bridge code base as Dockerized version, right? So what that means is that anyone can spin this up and run them and run this sort of swap and operate this swap and, you know, just fund the address. And then they'll be counterparty to all these trustless trades between Lightning and on-chain Bitcoin, and they'll earn their fees, whatever they set it to. Right now, I think I have like 2%. They can set to 5%, or they can set to 1% or 0.5%. So there can be like an open market where people compete on these trustless swaps. And, you know, since there's no foul play, right? So anyone can run these and anyone can earn fees. And this is like a yield on your Stacks or USDA or ETC or Lightning, right? So this is sort of the one of the cool points of this grants and this app, LMS VX Bridge. And then I guess maybe the final, maybe the final boss of this thing is to find a way. Maybe I don't know. I'm still sort of juggling some ideas, writing down some ideas, but to find a way to convert this current setup into more of a liquidity pool setup on StackChain, right? So that general idea would be people would actually contribute to a liquidity pool of SDX on chain, right? And they will have the opportunity to be counterparty to all the trades on LNSwap itself. Fully, of course, should be trustless and fully backed by reserve, and then actually earn fees and then earn yield on their BTC and SDX. So that's sort of the final goal, but I would say that's still a little bit far away. Still in idea stage.
Got it. And so you're saying this would be a way that people could easily buy into the Stacks ecosystem by buying Stacks using Lightning with this kind of like exchange pool.
Exactly. I mean, they can like in, let's say, you know, in the current iteration, they will run a Lightning node, right? Which will have like on-chain funds. It might or it might not have on-chain funds and Lightning funds. And then they will also contribute to the liquidity pool of LNSwap by sort of depositing SDX into a contract, right? And once this is all in place, LNSwap will only act as a coordinator to sort of facilitate the swaps between any user. So any user would come into the front end and say, you know, I want to swap SDX for BTC or Lightning for SDX, something. And then in the background, the LNSwap will just sort of coordinate these swaps that other people's nodes actually complete and fulfill these trades, right? And the fees would, of course, accrue to them. So that's the very, very general, you know, bird's, you know, view of the
That's super cool. Whenever I talk to you, I get so hyped about the future. It's insane.
This is how I live. Imagine how I live.
Yeah, you're just chilling on the beach in Hawaii with your laptop. You're just living the good life.
I wish.
That's the goal. Super cool. That's cool,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, yeah, I think when everyone saw this last thing, everyone got excited just because you can see how simple the process was. So just personally, I'm going to say thank you for building what you're building.
Oh, appreciate it. Thank you for using and providing feedback and spreading the word. Yeah, thank you.
Doing what I can. And to anyone else who's listening, you know, this, the goal of this video is one, to make you aware of all the cool shit Zach is building, but two, to hopefully make you start thinking about applying for a grant and start building cool stuff like LNSwap yourself in the Stacks ecosystem. So if you're at all compelled, check it out. GitHub is currently the place, but rumor has it they're changing the format pretty soon to have their own portal. Yeah, be on the lookout for that. But yeah, that's all I have for this episode. So Zach, thank you so much, man.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Have a good one.
I hope you guys enjoyed this conversation as much as I enjoyed being able to talk to this cool-ass dude. If you are at all interested in building something in Stacks, you know, there's so many resources now. There's Clarity University if you want to learn Clarity. If you're not in this current cohort, it's starting up on the 10th. I suggest you get on the wait list, start learning. It's never too late. And, you know, it really is still like the first or second inning right now. So we're just getting started. But yeah, highly recommend. Go to stacks.org/grants and apply for something. I did this as a content creator. There's so many things they could use. There's, you know, trying to get the word around different parts of the globe that are underserved. There's a bunch of dev stuff that's needed. Technical documentation writing. Like, there's just a ton. So there's a good chance that what you're good at might be useful. Or maybe it's got to tweak a little bit. And, you know, there's something out there that you can, with a little bit of elbow grease, can provide. Just like Zach's been doing. By just learning and learning and learning and dabbling and following his curiosity and trying to bring Lightning to the world. So, yeah. That's all I got to say for this. I love y'all. I'll see y'all in the next episode. My name is Jake. You'll see me around as Jake Blockchain. And, yeah, this has been the Built on Bitcoin podcast. Peace.